In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I suppose one could say that good people go to heaven. Howard certainly was a good man. He had his faults, as does everyone. But he was courageous and brave. He was pleasant in demeanor, kind and loving. He served our country faithfully at a very difficult time and paid a price for it. But death has still come. Tears and sadness and grief and emptiness have still come. So I suppose that one could say that good people go to heaven. But if goodness and kindness and compassion cannot stop a temporary thing like death, how can they stop an eternal thing like hell? War, cancer, heart diseases, regular ailments, cancer, these things do not cause death. Men have survived war. Howard is proof of that. Men have survived heart failures and heart problems. Again, Howard is a good example. Men have dealt with all sorts of ailments and diseases, even cancer, and have overcome, and yet men have still died. So war, cancer, disease, heart failure are not the cause of death. Sin is. Men die because they are sinners. In other words, they're not perfect. This isn't to dishonor Howard in any way, for he is like the rest of us. And it's now seen. His imperfection is now seen in the lifelessness. So this isn't to dishonor Howard in some way, but it's to open your eyes to the reality of why people die. You too, no doubt, are good people who try their best to serve others, to be faithful in your job. You work hard and help where you are able. I thank God for that. You didn't have to endure some of the things Howard endured. His life was different, and that's fine. But death is that great equalizer. Your end will be the same as his, and you know it. So if your kindness, if your compassion, if your hard work is not enough to stop a grave, then how could it be enough to stop hell? I don't say this to make you feel bad. But I say this so that you would find hope in Christ. The dead are lost. They're not coming back. But the dead in Christ are not lost. Sinners die, but those who believe in Christ do not die. Christ himself said, "Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Scripture calls death for the Christian a sleep, because it's not the end of anything. Howard knew this and believed this and confessed this. He could not defeat this enemy called death. He could not stop it from coming. With all of his courage and strength and wisdom, he couldn't stop death. And we can't either. But the blood of Christ can. The blood of Christ was Howard's victory, because that blood had taken away his sin and had given to him the perfection that comes solely from Christ. So in Christ, Howard is perfect. In Christ, Howard is a beloved saint of God, equal to Mary, to Peter, to James, John, and any other apostle or saint throughout the history of the world. The righteousness of Christ is fully and freely given to him. So in Christ, Howard is not dead, but he lives. What was promised to him at his baptism is now fulfilled. What God set before him week after week in a sacrament of the altar is now seen as a reality. Howard is in heaven because Jesus loved him, Jesus redeemed him, and Jesus saved him. So Howard is not lost. He's with Christ. He's decorated with honor and glory, not because of his own personal accomplishments, but because of the gifts given to him by Christ. Blessed is Howard, for he now rests from his labors. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith, and now is crowned with far greater glory and righteousness than he could possibly imagine. His body is not gone, but will be raised up in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. God will not abandon him to the grave. But what is laid to rest with military honors will be raised in glory and honor and strength and power. For Jesus is not a weak Savior who can only save the spirit or the soul. He is a mighty and a powerful King, a great warrior who has crushed death, ripped out its teeth, and pummeled it to the ground. Christ will raise the body. The best the world can do is to honor the past. And we do well to remember the things that men before us have done. But we don't live in the past. We live for the future, because we have a hope of the resurrection of the world to come. So the world will have celebrations of life, remembering what once was but is not anymore. We have funerals, because we mourn and grieve over what sin has done, because we look forward to Howard's resurrection with all the saints on that last day. The world wants to focus on the individual and talk about his accomplishments. We focus on Christ and talk about what he has done and so freely given. The world hopes that he's in a better place because he was a good man. We know that he is, because Christ was good to him. He is not dead, but he is sleeping. Even as a mother tucks her little child into bed at night, so Christ and his church are tucking Howard in to his earthly bed, waiting for Christ to wake him up at the resurrection of the dead. How can he be separated from Jesus? How can one who is clothed with Christ and filled with Christ now all of a sudden be separated from Christ? Again, Christ is not a weak king or a little savior. He is a mighty warrior and a great king who has conquered all things, even such a little thing as death. So we're sad, and rightly so, because we recognize the cause of death, sin. But we're not sad without hope. We miss him, but we don't want him to come back here. He struggled through this earthly life in a myriad of ways. Some of you know far better than I. Now he rests. His work is done. Christ's work for him and in him is now complete. We're sad, but we're also at peace. We lay our dear brother down, confident of the resurrection of the dead and the life that Christ has so freely won for us. This isn't denying reality, but this is opening your eyes to a greater life than simply breathing air for 80 years or so. If Jesus is God, if Jesus truly was born of the Virgin, if Jesus died on the cross and by his blood paid for your sins, if Jesus rose from the dead, then those who believe in Christ must also rise to be with him. This is the life that Christ has won. This is the life that Christ weekly dispenses. He desires that you would have life and have it to the full. He speaks his word of forgiveness week after week. Weekly, he places his risen body on your tongue and drenches your lips with his blood so that you might be partakers of his life, not just some spiritual, solistic life, but a life lived in the body, an immortal body that cannot die but will defeat death even as Christ has conquered death. Christ hates death because of what it does. Separates the body and the soul. Separates us from our loved ones. No more hugs, no more embraces, no more stories. We also hate death. But you see how Christ has turned this, our greatest enemy, into our greatest good. For what the death intended to harm, Christ uses to bring into eternal bliss. What death meant to be eternal, Christ by his death has made but a temporary nap. So we don't want him to come back here. We want to go to where Howard now is. And so it's not the good people who go to heaven, because we all would have a different standard of what goodness actually is and who actually meets that standard. So it's not good people who go to heaven, but it's people who believe in Jesus. Faith alone saves. We're not good enough to stop bullets. We're not good enough to stop a temporal thing such as death. Certainly we're not good enough to stop hell. But Christ is. He's the king. He's the great conqueror. The reality of death hurts. The cause of death, our sin, hurts even more. We see how it destroys our lives. But the reality of Jesus' life brings life eternal. And the reality of his death and of his resurrection bring a resurrection to the body and life immortality. So you who believe in Jesus will live even though you die. And you who believe in him will never die. Do you believe this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.